Hey, welcome to Lowdown. We talk everything aviation, defense, things that are happening around the globe that I find interesting, and I think you will find interesting as well.
Sam Lodge, stroke 8, nose 5, low. Break right.
This week, we're kicking off history with Colonel Bud Anderson. We're talking about spies being convicted or pleading guilty, as well as a whole host of other things, including some really big arms deals. But first, we need to talk about the sponsor of today's video. Today's video is brought to you by Aura, and it's never been a more important time to talk about Aura than today, because recently 2.9 billion records were hacked and stolen from national public data. And if you're thinking, what is national public data? That's a question I ask myself. This is the entity that private investigators, employers, staffing agencies use when they're out there conducting background checks. So the information that national public data has and the information that was hacked and stolen includes social security numbers, addresses, date of births, information you don't want in the hands of people with nefarious intent. If you're doing the math like I was, 330-ish million Americans, 2.9 billion records were stolen. There's a good chance that your information was hacked and you are exposed to this. So if you haven't been taking online security and privacy seriously, hopefully this is the wake-up call for you. But I'm not worried. I've been using Aura. They alert me anytime my information pops up on the dark web. They're gonna let me know fast if anyone tries to access my credit cards, bank accounts, etc. online. And should the worst case happen, they offer $5 million in identity theft protection insurance. They also offer a whole host of other services and tools. Don't leave yourself, don't leave your family exposed to these unnecessary risks. You can try Aura today for free for 2 weeks, going to aura.com/Ackburn or clicking the link down below. Stop leaving yourself vulnerable to all these data breaches that seem to be happening each and every day. Again, go to aura.com/Ackburn or go down to the description, click the link down below, try it for 2 weeks, absolutely free. All right, let's get into the podcast. And today we're talking about Colonel Bud Anderson, AAA's from World War II. If you've been around the air show world, there's a decent chance that you might've run into him because he was doing a lot of air shows, touring around for the last 15-20 years or so. I was fortunate enough to meet him twice and talk about standing on the shoulders of giants, which it seems to be a term I use a lot, but these guys definitely are the heroes that I look up to. And so let's kick it off with Colonel Bud Anderson from Newcastle, California. Born in 1922, as Clarence Bud Anderson grew up with a fascination of aviation. He saw barnstormers back in the day, and that really sparked his interest in aviation. The attack on Pearl Harbor, Anderson enlisted in the U.S. Army Air Corps, beginning the journey that would take him over the skies of Europe and become one of the most skilled fighter pilots out there. He trained rigorously, moving from the P-39 Air Cobra and eventually into the P-51, which would be his true lethal weapon of choice. He was stationed with the 357th Group, known as the Oxford Boys. Anderson quickly made his mark. His first kill was on March 3rd, 1944, when he downed a BF-109 that was attacking a B-17. From there, he went on and flew more and more missions deep into enemy territory as they pushed the Germans further and further back. By the time he finished his second tour, he had 16 and a quarter aerial victories and flown over 116 combat missions, which is just insane. Old Crow, the name for his P-51, successfully got him through all those missions where he, one, not only took a hit, nor did he ever have to turn back, which is pretty impressive in of itself. Colonel Anderson went on to continue to serve his country, ended up flying in Vietnam, flew 25 missions, and closed out the base in Thailand there where the 355th Tactical Fighter Wing was based. I think it was Ubon. I've double-checked that. But hats off to Colonel Anderson. He did, unfortunately, fly west this year, but tremendous individual. All right, last week marked the three-year anniversary of the fall of Afghanistan. Again, I don't think it was a surprise that it was going to end up in complete utter chaos. Our departure from there, it's been a touchy subject for a lot of people, myself included, because it was absolutely abysmal. But this past week, the Taliban celebrated their third anniversary. I have it in the newsletter, a picture of MRAPs rolling down the parade ground. I believe it was at Bagram Airfield where they hosted this celebration where they had Taliban cabinet members speaking, talking about how great Afghanistan is. Now, there were no women in the crowd because of the, you know, they weren't allowed of the 10,000 member audience, I guess, that showed up, but women weren't allowed to be there. But in this, the picture in the newsletter obviously have the MRAPs rolling down Main Street there, and Main Street, I mean Bagram, but surprisingly, they kept those things running, and also there got guys marching around in a bunch of Western gear all kitted out, a couple Blackhawks flying around. Again, rather impressive, those things are still flying around. If you just ignore the fact that it's completely outrageous, the fact that they even have these in their arsenal, because that's what it is. It's in their arsenal. Moving on, Ukraine. All right, we always love talking about Ukraine F-16s on the podcast, but they are now asking for retired F-16 pilots who want to join the ranks to come and fly. They need experienced F-16 pilots. No surprise here. Now, If you want to get shot in the face by an SA-21, have a nut. Who knows what's going to happen there? They're expecting 20 pilots to be ready by the end of the year. I think they're anticipating 10 F-16s in their fleet by the end of the year. But they need experienced pilots to go out there and fly and fight with it. So TBD, see what happens with that one. So the U.S. has approved a $20 billion sale to Israel. This is one of the big arms deals that has come out in the past few weeks. This one is for 50 F-15s, as well as upgrades to existing F-15s, AMRAAMs, tank ammunition, and a whole host of other things as well. Armored vehicles, I think, are in that mix. The F-15s are new are expected to roll off the line in 2029. So I think Boeing, obviously we got the F-15EX for the United States Air Force. I think Qatar is still getting F-15s. And then I imagine these Israeli F-15s are working their way into the production line for 2029. So there you go, Boeing. You remember the Vopas ATR from last week? So this was the crash where 62 individuals were unfortunately killed when that ATR crashed outside of São Paulo, Brazil. So the Brazilian media is reporting that this exact aircraft had a tail strike back in March and it sustained substantial damage. So it had a tail strike. It was, as a result, it appears maybe out of a hydraulic issue, and then they had a tail strike. But the aircraft was down for 4 months without flying, assuming that during that 4 month window is being repaired. So obviously some heavy structural damage, maybe hit a bulkhead, who knows what there. But interesting that this aircraft was down. It was down till July 9th. It flew on July 9th, experienced a cabin pressure issue, and then was returned to service July 13th until it crashed on August 9th there. If you watch the video, so if you're on YouTube, I'll put that up, you can see that it's just in a basically a flat spin as it's crashing almost. It's tough to tell, a cell phone video, but it looks like everything is intact. You might anticipate that maybe something broke off that caused it to depart control flight. Maybe they got slow. Who knows? Obviously, the investigation, we'll see. But it appears the engines are running and everything was intact there. But yeah, unfortunate circumstance there for sure. U.S. Army soldier has pled guilty to selling secrets to China. So this one popped up last January, December timeframe. But get this guy. He initially took a payment of $200 to give the Chinese information. So selling this country out for $200, which, I mean, I don't know, that's like half a Costco order. So good job there. But he gave the Chinese, his handler, he was an army specialist and intel analyst. He gave his handler a lot of information on various things for the U.S. military, including, I think, an F-22 3-1, which is a publication manual of like tactics, how he got access to that. I don't know. I guess it was just out there on SuperNet. But he ultimately took 14 payments totaling $42,000 to sell his nation out. So, yeah, great job there. U.S. Coast Guard has two icebreakers, I learned, one of which caught on fire. It was on an Arctic mission. It left in July, left Seattle, and it had a fire. It was up there showing presence, having our footprint up there in the Arctic. Because, again, if you look at a globe, draw a line across it, shortest distance between two points. Turns out the Arctic's pretty important if we're talking some of our near-peer adversaries that we're focused on these days. But nonetheless, it caught fire. It had a return. The Coast Guard sent its second icebreaker up there. Again, the Coast Guard only has two. The one that caught on fire was 50 years old. That was a USS Healy. I don't know if it's a USSS. I don't know how that works. But that one caught on fire, so now we just have one. I'm sure the Navy has some, but if you think about where we've been spending our money over the last 20 years, we really haven't been focused on the Arctic. So this is a capability that I think we probably need and might be lacking in. So TBD on that one as well. Boeing, another big win for them. They secured a $2.56 billion contract for the E-7 Wedgetail. So the Air Force divesting the E-3 AWACS. That's the old 707 with the big radar dish on dome that spins around, and looking to replace that. So currently several nations fly the E-7, going off the top of my head here, but UK, Australia fly it. It's a 737 platform that has an AESA radar or some kind of modern radar that is definitely better than the old AWACS radar. It always goes midnight. So the Air Force, this, it doesn't say this $2.6 billion contract. I think it is for two rapid prototypes that are supposed to be ready in 2027. The Air Force ultimately wants 26 of these aircraft. So I'm envisioning that the $2.6 billion is not covering the 26 aircraft. All right, Poland, they're spending some money. They signed two big arms deals this week. $850 million contract for AMRAAMs, the AIM-120C, that's an advanced medium-range air-to-air missile carried on the F-16, radar-guided missile there. They're going to start getting those, it looks like 2029, which does seem like a long time away. remember, which I'm sure you don't, but back at the newsletter, almost like fall, summer timeframe last year, Raytheon, we had it in there, up their AMRAAM production by threefold. So with everything going on around the world, turns out we think we might need more AMRAAMs. The second contract there was for 96 Apache helicopters, around $10 billion. I think that'll put them at number dos for nations flying the Apache, but getting brand new Apaches there. Germany signed a $5 billion deal with Lockheed. That was approved by the State Department for 600 Patriot Advanced Capability PAC-3 missile segments. So the missiles, from what I understand, for the Patriot missile system, they had already spent over $2 billion earlier this year buying Patriot missile systems and components from Raytheon. So dollar bills. If you're not investing in defense companies, then I guess you probably should reassess your portfolio. F-22s, the Raptor made a stop in Indonesia. This is the first time ever. Four Raptors landed there along with the C-130 and they conducted hot pit refueling. So the C-130 rolled out some fuel hoses from a fuel bladder and refueled it, showing our strength and bond and capability with our partners out there in the Asia region. But that's just not all. Raptors also deployed to the Middle East, as well as it seems like everyone else making haste to the Middle East. That's following the fallout. I don't know if that's the right phrase. I guess I wouldn't call it fallout. But, you know, when the Israelis swacked Ismail Hayatou, oh man, I was so close to getting that one. But you know who I'm talking about. He was the Hamas political arm leader who got smoked by Mossad in Tehran 2 weeks ago. Well, yep, obviously Iran has been saber-rattling ever since, and we've been deploying fighters, bombers, tankers, and sending lots of Navy ships into and around the region of the Middle East as a result of that. So I guess we'll just go again, yet again, TBD, see how that one plays out. But things sure are spicy. Last year, several Osprey mishaps. So the CV-22, MV-22, tilt rotor, helicopter plane thing, right? Unfortunately, we've had a lot of guys and gals pass away in the last few years as a result of Osprey crashes. Well, the DOD stood all the Osprey crashes down following a Marine Corps mishap and then an Air Force mishap, like back-to-back. I think the Marines had like three of them there are a lot of mishaps. I don't want to misspeak here. But the Air Force one came out last week, which we talked about. The AIB, the Accident Investigation Board, cited pilot error. So it did have mechanical problems, but the crew continued to push through. And we hit on a little bit the mentality with Air Force Special Operations Command. It's kind of push through, get it done, out there operating by yourselves, make things happen, maybe accept a little bit more risk when you wouldn't normally. Well, the Marine Corps also is citing pilot error in this mishap. So they're saying no mechanical malfunction, but from one excerpt from it, this quote, during the flight final approach to a pre-coordinated landing zone, the aircraft executed three extreme right banks, causing an aerodynamic stall condition. So sounds like they stalled. I need to dig into that one more. But again, the Marine Corps is citing pilot error on that as well. The aircraft carrier Shandong, that's the Chinese aircraft carrier, deployed to the Philippine Sea. You might remember over the summer, obviously the Philippines and China have really been going at it, and they've had some pretty contested things with boats and fire hoses and all sorts of stuff back and forth over contested waters there. So China's deployed their carrier as well as carrier groups, and they're going to be conducting exercises for an unknown period of time in and around that region. So not cooling down. The UN issued a warning over the Kursk nuclear plant. So Ukraine obviously made a big push into Russia this past week and a half, but they did it in an area that also has a nuclear power plant. I've seen a lot of fighting that's going on in and around that. Obviously, you hope nothing crazy happens. It looked like the plant did get lit on fire. Who did it? I don't know, but things that you don't want. Jumping into the radar scope, this is a new trial section of the newsletter here, but just quick hit. So we had a defense contractor that was charged after attempting to leave the country with top secret documents. So I am going to jump into this one because it falls in line with what we're talking about. This is a 50-year-old dual citizen from Turkey who had access, obviously, to a lot of classified information working as an Air Force electrical engineer, contractor there. He printed over 150 pages of top secret government documents before trying to flee the country to Mexico. They obviously have gone back into what he has been looking at, what he has been printing, because turns out all that stuff is tracked when you're using a copier in a vault. The guy's printed thousands and thousands of pages of documents. His story of going to Mexico, they quote as nonsensical. Again, another guy trying to sell out his country or his second country. Interesting that you can have a dual citizenship with a TSSCI, but I guess it makes sense. You know, like Elon Musk probably has a dual citizenship. So, and he definitely has top secret information. You can't be in the military and be a dual citizen. So, yet again, I'm sure this is just going to create more more crackdowns when it comes to handling classified information. I don't get people who just sell their country out for a couple $1,000s. That just doesn't make sense. Or just, I mean, selling your country out in general, but let alone for, you know, a couple $1,000s. Nashville, Tennessee, of all places, the U.S. have cracked up a laptop farm that was run by North Korea. So a dude was running a laptop farm. He would apply for jobs, remote jobs, which would pay upwards of $250,000. That money would then go back to North Korea to fund their nuclear program. But it was just running a remote job, applying for these things. And it was just North Koreans running it there. So that's great. A SkyWest pilot diverted, and this caught the headlines. I always love this, but it's like the headlines were unqualified pilot, you know, had to divert. They're going into Jackson Hole. Sounds like the weather was bad. There's a whole host of reasons why, you know, this pilot might have had to turn back. Maybe the weather was supposed to be good and he was a high minimums captain. So new captain, they have higher weather requirements for 100 hours of flying the plane. Maybe the weather wasn't forecast and it turned bad. Who knows? But again, it does make it a little bit more dramatic than I'm sure it was for that. Hopefully it wasn't that it was a high altitude airport and the guy wasn't qualified. He missed it. The dispatcher missed it. Yada, yada, yada. Who knows? A lot of things there, but definitely more dramatic. He obviously landed the plane without issue at somewhere else. There was a pilot. There's a picture. I can click on that, right? So if you're watching this, you can see the picture. Looks like it's a Dash 8. I'm sure I'm getting that one wrong. Terrible Viz ID when it comes to civilian planes, but you know, what can I do? Definitely gear up. It's a humanitarian, maybe United Nations Humanitarian Air Service, but this was in South Sudan. So it took off out of one city, Mamba, and clipped a dike and then continued on, which, you know, again, probably makes sense. If it landed wherever it was, maybe that plane was never going to come back. There was never going to get anyone to fix it. So they're trying to get it to an airport with suitable services, either crash, fire, rescue, maintenance, or all the above. Because I doubt they didn't realize that their gear was missing and got left behind. But again, I guess you never know. Hey, F-35 reached 1,000 jets in the global operational fleet. It's pretty impressive when you think about the capability of making war machines, but it turns out I guess we're good at it. Lockheed Martin delivered first C-130J to the Royal New Zealand Air Force. So welcome to the J model, to the Royal New Zealand Air Force. I believe that's replacing their H models there. Obviously, that's a great big enhancement there. U.S. Abraham Lincoln accelerates transit to the Middle East. They are told to make haste with guided missile submarines leaving Georgia and the whole carrier group and all sorts of stuff. So lots of iron, again, heading towards that. The Nord Stream pipeline, remember that big old thing that ruptured out there up in the cold water place north of Germany, Norway, wherever it might be. But German authorities are now suspecting that it was a Ukrainian that did it. A dive instructor who has a dive shop in Ukraine. That he might have orchestrated the whole deal there. New Zealand, a charity was handing out candy that was contaminated with meth. So they're trying to figure out the source of that. I mean, it's absolutely terrifying if you got kids, or just anyone in general. You've seen it definitely pop up in the United States, around the world, where they've gotten pretty creative of hiding drugs inside packaging and items that look like everyday Skittles, chips, whatever it might be. So I guess good luck when you snack. Su-34, that's a Russian fighter bomber, was downed in Kursk. Conflicting reports on what happened. Obviously, the Ukrainians have used the old Patriot missile to shoot down a couple Russian jets in the past few months. But unknown if it was a Patriot that shot it down, or maybe this guy just packed it in or had some kind of mechanical malfunction. But maybe we'll never know. Probably won't see that action report. The Army established an Arctic Aviation Command, obviously focusing on the Arctic. Again, going back to our globe. Shortest distance between two points there. The residents of Burlington, Vermont, they're pretty upset. The F-35 is noisy and they're complaining about it. Shocker. I have no idea why they put the F-35 there to begin with, other than congressional and senatorial delegations. Obviously, rah-rah for the home team, getting money back to their home state. But it's like the most unfriendly state when it comes to the guard and reserves and loud noises, especially. They needed like a UAV up there or something. But I did love this quote. I think this is from a high school student. Our classes will sometimes have to stop because the F-35s are so loud. We cannot hear our teachers and we cannot hear our peers. It's a really big issue. I think we're not taking this into consideration about education in the next generation. Well, probably fine balance between, you know, defending your nation and having the next generation. There's a whole thing we can go into that. We won't do it, but, you know, I guess boohoo, it's a sound of freedom. Get over it is my humble opinion there. Norway has inquired about the HIMARS. So this is the High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, which is an impressive thing to see. I've only seen it from the air. I can only imagine what it's like down on the ground, but they've expressed interest in Lockheed's HIMARS. So TBD if they get that as well. A lot of stuff going on there. Hope you enjoyed the newsletter. Make sure you click the link down below. You can get that absolutely free. And then check out the sponsor of today's video, Aurora, so that you protect you and your family in this world of craziness when people are always trying to steal your stuff. Try to take your things. Don't let them do it. So until next week. Your online security has never been more important. Recently, hackers stole over 2.9 billion records from National Public Data. You might be asking yourself, what's National Public Data? Well, that's the service that private investigators, companies, and staffing services all use to do background checks. This information is now in the hands of hackers who say they're going to give away this information for free. I use a company called Aura to make sure that whenever my data pops up in places I don't want, I get notified immediately. They also go right to work trying to remove your information from data brokers, as well as they offer a whole host of other tools. And should the worst case happen, they offer up to $5 million in identity theft protection insurance. Protect yourself and your family today with Aura. You can use the link down below and get a 14-day free trial, and this will be enough time for Aura to go out there, scan the web, and see what information is out there that you really don't want. You can go to aura.com/afterburn or click the link down below in the description again to get 14 days free.